Audio Now.
Hello Holly, the podcast about interior, trends, and friends.
Hi, I'm Holly Becker from the interior blog Decorate. I'm an author, a stylist, and I have my own magazine called Holly, and now my new podcast about interior, zeitgeist, and friendship. Are you ready? Hello, Goody Herder is here with us today. Hi, Goody. How are you?
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Goody Herder is an international trend consultant, a blogger, which is how I first met you. She's a speaker. She does lots of keynote speeches. She's a trainer, and she's based in Barcelona, Spain. You may know her also by her blog, which is called Eclectic Trends, and also her name of her studio. Goody works with clients big and small to spot trends and develop products and services that will inspire customers and ultimately, of course, turn a profit. Goody is German, and she's originally from a small town near Hanover, right?
Right.
Yeah. And she relocated to Barcelona over 30 years ago with her partner, Chris, and she never looked back, which I find really interesting because I'm also an expat. And she's speaking German, Spanish, and English. But today we're going to speak English. Goody, it's really nice to have you here. And I have to ask you a question I always ask my guests first is, what is really exciting you at the moment?
That is such a good question. And with all the information we have, I'm having a hard time answering that. But what I really like to observe right now is the velocity of the market and how much technology and innovation has kicked in to offer solutions, make our life easier. And many of us have become urban nomads and we need our different solutions. So, for instance, inside our home, furniture needs to be more flexible due to future space problem. Mm. But at the same time, we need this flexibility also outside our homes, co-working spaces. So to sum it up, velocity and flexibility go hand in hand right now. And I think it is very exciting to observe what is happening there.
Yeah, that's really great that you mentioned that. And we'll definitely go into that more of that in a few moments. And I think, though, even though I gave you a good intro, I always like to hear my guests kind of tell me about who they are. So tell me more about who you are. How did you enter this field and why? I just would really love to know from your perspective. So maybe you can tell us.
Okay. Yeah, sure. How I came into the trend business.
Yeah.
Very easy and short story. Yeah. I used to work in Spain for a retail company. They had around 70 stores all around Spain. And my responsibility was to develop and purchase accessories, all the accessories that would have in the furniture stores. Mm-hmm. And I visited a lot of trade shows. I did like 10 to 12 trade shows per year. And I would always come back with a trend report I would share with the store managers and the franchisees. And I loved it.
Mm.
You know?
Okay, you got a bit...
I totally got hooked on that specific task. And eventually, I saw a lot of potential there. I decided to concentrate only on trends and kind of build a studio which would offer trend reports. And, you know, the funny thing was that my blog was already called Eclectic Trends.
Oh, perfect.
Because I considered myself always an eclectic person. Mm. I would never stick to just one style.
Right.
And so I already had I had the name and I said, well, why not kind of going for trends only? Mm. And this is how it all started.
That's amazing. And you've built up so much since that time. And isn't it interesting when we all look at our timelines?
Yeah.
In the early days and how it affects us today, it's quite astounding, actually.
It's been a while. It's been very interesting to observe everybody, and it it's still wonderful to meet and get together and still recognize everybody, right?
Yeah, that's right. And also to the beginnings, I find it when you know the story of how people started, it actually makes people less scared to try new things because we can see that if you have talent and you stick to something long enough, you can have really good results, which is what you've had in what you do. I want to talk a little bit about this, the colors of the year and how different paint companies are declaring this color of the year and that color of the year. And I read, too, that since 2000, the Pantone Institute is actually, of course, they've been declaring the color of the year now for 19 years. And they're holding a secret meeting a couple times a year. And I believe it's in Europe where they're getting all of the people involved the experts from various nations, color standards groups. And after a few days of debates and discussions, they're choosing a color for the year. And a lot of times it has to do, of course, with the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times. Maybe it's mindfulness. Maybe it's, dealing with, there's so many political issues in the world and people are looking for a color that makes them feel calm, whatever it is. And it's very interesting to me how this comes about. So from knowing this myself, and of course you know this, how do you feel trends are tied into the zeitgeist? Because a lot of people just think everything's very aesthetic, but is there more, is there a real psychology behind trends?
100%. I would like to explain a little bit more how we work, how we do trend research.
Okay, great.
Spend a lot of time explaining actually what a trend is, how a trend starts, and what impact a trend can have, because lately it has become a buzzword. Everybody talks trends, and trends are so much on vogue, which is good for us people, right, who are working in this industry. But at the same time, you can easily get the notion that trends are something superficial. So a trend research, if it's well done, it's called a soft science. And it's called a science because it is based on our politics. It's based on economics. It's based on culture. We look into our social studies, our environmental issues. And not always everything at the same time,
right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But there is no trend on the market that is not backed up by at least one of these industries. So it's never only about a color that becomes a trend, or it's about a material that becomes a trend. And that's the point. That's what is happening lately very often. We talk about the velvet trend, or we talk about the terrazzo trend. I'm very sorry to say that in my world, when we talk about the terrazzo trend, terrazzo in itself is a material. It is a style and is an expression of a trend, but it's not a trend in itself. It's a manifestation of a trend. But this terrazzo trend or this terrazzo style belongs to a higher version of a trend, let's say. And if you know where it comes from, and if you know why we are interested in terrazzo, why we're interested in velvet right now, because it talks directly to our needs and to our values, then you have a social study, and then you can talk about a trend that will live over time. So when we talk properly trends, it's never about a 12-month style that goes away immediately. But it talks about, you know, a trend is born when society, when there's a shift in our values in society, in what we need and what we cherish. And then we ask that to the market. And then new products and new designs and new services are born. And out of this eventually comes a trend. But it is all of us. It is the end consumer who is kind of putting a message out. And this could become a trend. But it's not because a guru or an influencer or a single person or single agency says this is going to be a trend. Because if we as an end consumer, if we are not willing to buy this trend, it can never get a trend.
Yeah, that's right. So it's definitely based on, like you said, the soft science.
Yes.
And all of these different things. That's pretty fascinating because, as I mentioned, or you mentioned, that sometimes people think this trends is merely a superficial guiding. And in some ways it is. It can be, but there's actually a science that backs it up. Just like with the home, there's actually a science that backs up the fact that if you live in an environment that you love, that brings you happiness and safety, this is a foundation for the rest of your life, and this is a catalyst for your life. So if you have a home that you love and you feel good in, then naturally you function better in all areas of your life. Whereas if you go home at night and you hate it and it's not something that makes you feel good, you function less well in day-to-day living. So it's interesting to see that what you and I are doing is, it's not so superficial after all. It's actually quite based on our love and our need for people and observing people in a very close way. Don't you find that as well?
How can it be superficial if what we do is answering to needs and to values that are in society?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a good quote. I'll quote you on that. That's good. Fantastic. So I've got another question for you about trends, because I've been asked this many times, is how long between the time a trend is created and when we see it in the shops? And we're talking retail, we're talking pineapples, we're talking whatever it is that people are buying right now. How long did it take before that happened?
Honestly, Holly, there is no standard answer to that. I'm sorry. I believe it depends very much on the market. It depends. If we talk, for instance, Europe, we have northern markets and we have southern markets. And very often it's in the DNA of the, and or it's in the culture of the markets. Like, are specific materials and colors, they are easier to become trending in the north, not that much in the south.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right? Same happens with our with materials. Spain, for instance, because of their culture and their history, they are not early adopters. Italy, which is a neighbor country, is, because that's, I mean, beauty is in their DNA. And they are very curious and very dynamic, and they always hop on the last trend train. But other more northern northern markets, they're probably not that much. So I don't have a standard answer to that. Yeah. I think we have to look into the culture of the country and how dynamic our people are in that country. We have to see what history they have. Still today in 2019, that is important. And then we can market specifically. We can speak that that is that happens on this and that market, but not as a Europe, for instance.
Yeah, yeah. Because I always notice when I go to fairs and even when I'm out shopping, I notice something a lot of people see is it seems like everyone all got the same book. And they all know the colors, and they all know the style, and they all know the motif, and they're just all, it's unbelievable how this happens. Like when you go to Milan, there's always like a recurring theme of color or a specific pattern. And then you go to Paris, and it's also this way. And I guess I wonder, like, for people listening who don't really understand how this happens, how does that happen? How do people have so much harmony with what they're designing?
Don't you think that social media is a huge connector here?
Yeah, it could be.
Don't you think that what we see on social media, since we are so connected, energies are a little bit of a lack of personality lately. So it's like that is on social media, or that works well, that has become viral, let's go for it.
Okay.
Not that much of a personal style.
Oh, okay.
And I think we are all somehow connected, and that happens with colors and materials at the same time because it has become so visual, right?
Yeah, that's right. And in fashion too, fashion really dictates a lot what's coming out in interiors. You see something on the runway and a year later it's in your living room. It's also very interesting.
But that's rather new. That started like 5 years ago that we had this direct translation immediately.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah,
you remember that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That because when we saw certain colors on the catwalk, we would never go for that in our homes.
Yeah.
And right now, 12 months later, you have accessories.
Yeah. Or like what Gucci is doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're doing like the very eclectic and very over the top, and then also with interiors trends, it's also taking that turn more towards the eclectic and over the top again.
But you know what? I will take you on this point. This is a very good example to explain you what trends are about. What Alessandro Michele is doing with Gucci, that would not be that successful if people were not willing to buy in. Mm. And they are, because we're coming from a long time of economical recession. What happens during that moment is that people don't shop that much, and they are very monochromatic. They don't dare to be bold or to be personal or to be eclectic. They rather are very, very cautious. So we had a lot in the interior scene, we had a lot of these more minimalistic Scandinavian feel, right? More minimal feel, which had to do a lot with the economical moment too. But there came a moment that people said, oh, come on, I mean, I want to go a little bit bolder. I want to be super eclectic, and I want to go maximum. And Alessandro Michele picked on that moment. If we were not willing to do so, if we're not willing to go more eclectic and more individual again, he wouldn't have had that much of a success.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so he really is good. An influencer, right? But he has no influence on anybody if people wouldn't follow him.
Yeah.
And we were just very right for it.
Yeah.
It was a good moment to do so.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I'm so glad for listeners to be able to hear that come from you, because it is makes such a profound point. So let's talk about trend forecasting in your work. What inspires you the most about this? Because I know it's a really broad thing that you do, and you're involved in so much. And what keeps you going with this? And what's really, what's inspiring you about it?
It's another very good question. You know, I'm not that excited with observing when a new trend is born. I mean, obviously I am. Of course, that's my work. But I'm very much interested in seeing how a trend evolves.
Okay.
I get very often the question, how long is a trend, how long does a trend stay on the market? And I always say, listen, a trend can go on for a rather long time if there's an evolution,
right? Yeah, like jeans, denim.
Like denim, for instance, or like What does it mean to be mindful today? What is it? What is holistic well-being saying in our homes? How many layers can we have? How much coziness do we need? How much do we need to detox? And once this trend is defined, how does it evolve over time?
Mm.
So we had like all these different layers of fabrics and on textiles because we wanted to feel our cocooned and we wanted to have all the softness in our homes, right?
Mm.
And then there comes Marie Kondo and she says, unclutter your homes.
Yeah.
You will feel so much better. Get rid of your stuff. And she is having a huge influence right now.
Right.
She's on Netflix and people are, they go and say, I'm doing a Marie Kondo today in my home.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
She has become a verb.
Right.
And that means we're going a little bit more minimal today, but still with all the mindful idea behind.
Right.
So for me, what is most interesting is the evolution of a trend. Mm. What do we people, we end consumer, do with our social shifts?
Yeah, yeah. And Reese Witherspoon with her new deal with Netflix, she actually has a new show coming up as well about organization where she's working with influencers from the US and they have a show about organization. So that's, the Marie Kondo part two, you know, working
looking
more
forward
on,
to that.
Yeah, downsizing and getting rid of things and buying only what you love. And all that seems to be also a trend and an evolution of this trend.
You know, it has become a necessity. I believe we have too much stuff.
Mm.
We don't need that much stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a good moment to get rid of it.
Mm. And I think that's why we always feel really good when we travel, because we go to a hotel and it's very, you know, it has just what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this can be so good for the brain just to shut off and relax.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, too, it's nice to talk a little bit now to our listeners, because I'm sure they all probably have a ton of questions for you. So I'm trying to think about what would the listener want me to ask you. So let's say someone out there is a bit skeptical when it comes to trends and they think maybe it's a bit unnecessary. Why bother with trends? What's your viewpoint on this? What would you tell that skeptic?
I would go basically back to what we've been saying already, that if you understand that a trend comes from within a person, an individual, because it speaks to needs, it speaks to values, it speaks to trying to optimize ourselves all the time, and that obviously has to do with aesthetics at the same time at the end, then it makes total sense that we talk trends. Right.
Right.
If we try to change the perception of what a trend is, then it makes sense 100%. And you know, even the person who says, "Oh, I don't buy into trends. I'm not interested." Well, that is a trend in itself.
Mm, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So somehow we are always surrounded by trends.
Yeah.
Being a dynamic person and being very curious and dress up yourself and being in like a fashion addict, that's one thing. And if you go totally slow and you live in the countryside and you want to move out and you want to live the urban side, that is another trend.
Right. Yeah, it's true. But a lot of times people don't classify it as that. They don't think that way. But that's a really interesting viewpoint. I've actually, I think there's a lot of interesting trends now in interior design. And I really want to talk to them about all of those with you. But there's something that I'd really like to discuss. And it has to do with decorating and design in the home. Because I've been told a few times that focusing on decorating or design or worrying about how I set my table or whatever is all a bit silly. It's a bit frivolous. Like, why bother? It's some people even think it's a bit materialistic. And I actually have always held this philosophy that having a home that supports you and nurtures you, makes your guests feel comfortable, all of that, that is really important to your mental and your emotional well-being. And I know, because I've been your friend now for many years, and I know that you do share a similar belief. So I'd like to ask you a little bit off of the trend topic, but how do you feel that our immediate environment, the way we live, really affects us as people? Does it matter to decorate? Is it important to have a nice home?
First, I'm 100% with you. 100, 200, 300%. And it's not because I'm working in the interior design area.
Right.
Just to share a little our story with you, we have been researching now for the past year on a new trend report, a specific topic, and we have called it a ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about holistic well-being inside and outside our homes, because this is something we very much need right now. Our homes have become or are becoming our personal well-being temples.
Mm-hmm.
So that mind might sound really bold, like, what do you mean by a temple? Mm-hmm. But it's not a home anymore in the sense it used to be. It is a place where we unwind, where we relax, where we detox, where we connect, where we disconnect. And aesthetics obviously have a major role here. Mm-hmm. And all that makes feel us really good if you are achieved to connect and disconnect and unwind and detox on all that. So again, of course it is important how the decoration of your home is and how well you feel, because it is your well-being temple.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And it's really like a foundation for your life, and it's important. And I really feel very strongly that it's absolutely connected to our emotions and our mental wellness. So let's talk again about trends in interior design. Is there anything that we should be expecting next year in 2020?
Oh yeah.
Oh good. Let's hear it.
Well, they're different streams and different
for
trends.
Interiors.
Like for interiors, yeah,
in
sure,
Germany
sure,
and
yes.
in Northern Europe, let's
okay.
say.
Okay. Let me talk. It's not that I'm going to say, oh, it is this color scheme.
Yeah,
this,
right. I mean, you won't declare the color of the year today. Okay.
Well, at eclectic trends. No, our color of the year for 2020, and I can tell you that is brown.
Brown, yeah,
brown.
Right.
Brown is
yeah.
our color of the year. Mm-hmm. We already said last year that brown shades are coming back, and
yes.
brown is coming back big
yes.
time.
Yes.
There's a good reason for it. And the interesting thing is brown in its different shades.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco, our chocolate, our cinnamon, our soil, you name it.
Right. right?
However
right.
you want to name that specific shade. Yeah, so this is the color of the year for us at Eclectic Trends. And I love it because, you know, the thing is about brown, in color psychology, it is the least popular color.
Mm-hmm.
Because people do not associate a brown with soil or earth, but rather with a rotten thing.
Right, that's right. Yes,
yeah?
I remember that.
Mm. And so whereas blue is number one, brown is the last on the favorite color scale. So it's good that it's coming back, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have a different approach to it right
mm-hmm.
now. But what I wanted to say in interior design, listen, the fact that 1.5 million people move from the countryside to a city, to an urban area every single week in the world is very much affecting us.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine Barcelona, for instance, has 1.6 million in the city center. You know
mm-hmm.
Barcelona, right?
Yeah, of course. I've been there. Yeah,
yeah. Good. And so every single week, a city such as Barcelona is built somewhere.
Mm.
So what means that for architecture, interior design, home decorating? It means that we require a lot of space, right? And where space is missing, our flexibility kicks in. Flexibility, multifunctional is another buzzword.
Right.
And everything has to be versatile because we move a lot and our lives are less routine driven. So if a furniture company is bringing a new collection on the market, being it for a home or if it's for a co-working space, it has to be flexible.
Right. It makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It has to offer different functions.
Mm.
You can use it during a meeting if it's a co-working space, or if all the desks, all the furniture, all the furniture design, or they need to be in a moment you need to assemble them, disassemble them, high, low, but still within the same design. Or you can build up small islands because you want to have an informal casual meeting. So flexibility is number one.
Right.
That is big in 2019 and 2020.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
And number two, and we said it already, we are right now on a more mindful journey.
Right, right.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mindfulness is not even a word that is translated right now.
Right.
We just took it from the American market and
right.
we use it even in the French language.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have a translation. And even in Spanish, and we don't allow too many our English words coming into Spanish.
Mm.
So the reason is that anxiety has increased significantly and we need tools to counterbalance, right?
Mm.
So design is one of these tools. Design helps actually and gives a lot of solutions to feel better. And interior design is one of the big things that could help us to counterbalance a little bit the chaos or the stress we are having right now. objects, they need to be a little bit more mindful, they need to help to get to inner reflection and contemplation. And that's the next big thing. It's not about looking good only or being functional, but it should help achieve inner reflection.
Okay, fantastic. So the three are basically brown and shades of brown. Mm-hmm. And the second is flexibility and mobility, and specifically furniture. And the third is mindfulness, and that objects aren't just about beauty, but also form and function and actually bringing benefit and value to your life. Did I get those right?
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Perfect.
Great. Good.
Very good.
So
excellent listener.
I try. Yeah, I'm really so happy that you're here because I know a lot about your background, and now I'd love to talk a little bit more personally with you, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
I know that you're originally from the Hanover area, so you're German, and you've been in coastal Spain now for 30 years. How is German life different from where you're at? Because I've been to Barcelona, and I can imagine it's very different for you. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like there?
Yeah, I'm still having the same answer.
Long pause.
How can I answer that in a short sentence?
It's a big question.
No, I have one single sentence, but one answer. Very short. Mm-hmm. The light is everything.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. The light and the climate is everything because it influences your biorhythm.
Yes.
So you spend more time on the streets. Our life is outside. And that changes absolutely everything.
And on the rooftops.
And if you have a rooftop, it's a new luxury.
I felt like everything in Barcelona was on the rooftop. Wherever I went, there was a restaurant on the rooftop.
Yeah, or the hotel bars.
Yes.
Yeah, the coolest bars right now are on the rooftop of the hotel.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and how is the design world different there than in Germany, let's say? And speaking about interiors.
Do you see, Holly, I'm not pretty sure that you could immediately recognize Spanish design.
Okay.
And I know that doesn't sound too good, but we are so influenced right now. Everything has become so global.
Mm.
I don't know if we have a specific feature that we say that is only Spanish design. I'm sure that Spanish people wouldn't be now too happy if they hear me, if they listen to that. But if there are two features that might be a little different, first it is humor.
Mm.
We have a lot of humor-based design.
Yeah, like Jamie Hayen.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. He is our ambassador for humor-based design.
Yeah.
But not only Jamie, but other designers too. Humor and Spanish designers are not afraid of color.
Mm.
Not at all. It's not a monochromatic our DNA they have, but they really go for color.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all that sunshine and vibrancy and happiness and joy, and you always
and the water, the coastal areas, water brings a lot of color always to the different markets.
Great And do you have any Spanish designers that are your favorite, or any creative people that listeners should know about that you follow?
Yes, you said Jamie Hayon,
because
of his humor, number one, but he's a very nice guy too, and I love his organic shapes. Second is there is the furniture company, which is called Sancal.
Mm-hmm.
Sancal, they have the nicest stands on the trade shows because they are not afraid of going bold.
Mm-hmm.
They have really beautiful collaborations with external designers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a trend spotter, go see Sancal.
Okay.
It's a very good recommendation.
Okay.
And then there is this interior design studio, which is called Masque Espacio.
Mm-hmm.
They're based in Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
And they go really, really the extra mile when it comes to color. They have a very clear signature. It's very, very color-based, and they are getting a lot of awards already because of that color scheme.
Okay, so I think I've just found out a little something interesting from your answers. I think the design world is different there than in Germany because you are fearless with colors. How do you like that answer?
I love it.
That's what it is, huh? Maybe that's what it really is, because you're right. Everybody that you've given as an illustration to is all very colorful when you think about it, huh?
Yeah.
And that's very special because the more Nordic countries are not so bold with color.
Mm-hmm.
Although Denmark is changing quite a lot. A lot of color on the walls. And
I agree.
Well, I've loved talking to you today. I have a final question for you. It's the same question I ask all my guests, and I'm really interested in your answer because you're an expat living in a foreign culture, and I always believe what makes a house a home is a different answer for everyone. So what is making your house a home for you, Gudi?
My personality.
Okay.
My experience, my travels, the moments I have lived, and basically my story.
Wonderful. Well, that's a great way to end this podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. It's been a real pleasure and an honor. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Holly.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more about what drives creatives behind the things we love, follow my podcast. There'll be a new podcast every 2 weeks. Please like the podcast in the Apple Podcast app so more people will find this. And I'd love if you'd share it on Instagram at Holly Magazine. I'd really appreciate it. I'd also love your feedback. Please email me at holly@holly-magazine.de. And you can write to me in English or German. I'm really excited to see what you have to say. And also, if you'd love to be a guest, email me as well. Thank you for listening again and have a nice day.